Spider-Man made his comic book debut 40 years ago. The new movie Spider-Man is co-produced by the superhero's co-creator, Stan Lee. It stars Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst and is directed by Sam Raimi. Film critic Henry Sheehan has a review.
Let's face it, they'll probably never get the real Marvel deal. The funky, cheap paper, weird outfit, off-kilter Marvel on screen. Spider-Man the movie has less to do with the mind-altering experience of opening a strange Marvel than with watching a teenage romance spliced together with footage from an animated film. Still, the first hour is lively, engaging fun. Certainly Tobey Maguire's impersonation of Peter Parker, the epitome of the 120-pound high school weakling, is on the money. His moody reserve clicks with co-star Kirsten Dunst, who matches up her usual perk with some subterranean unhappiness of her own. As Mary Jane Watson, girlfriend to her high school's chief jock, she can't make any overt moves towards Weenie Parker, but he does pop up on her radar. Peter, of course, longs for next-door neighbor Mary Jane with all his heart, hoping to rescue her from her abusive father and watching her from the home he shares with his Uncle Ben and Aunt May. Anyone under 55 knows what happens next. Parker gets bitten by a biologically enhanced spider and ends up transformed into a muscular acrobatic web spinner. Eventually, he becomes Spider-Man, superhero. Meanwhile, a parallel transformation occurs to Norman Osborn, a wealthy arms manufacturer. Played by the already creepy-looking Willem Dafoe, he tries out a genetically transforming drug on himself in order to crush a competitor, an unexpectedly welcome bit of political satire. Uh-oh, he turns into the arch-villain, the Green Goblin. All this takes up an hour of running time. Usually when a filmmaker spends an hour on his setup, you chalk it up to bad storytelling. But in this case, you're tempted to say that director Sam Raimi found this part of the movie the most interesting. I certainly did. As an Irish Catholic kid growing up in suburban Boston, reading a Marvel comic conveyed a shiver of sinfulness. I couldn't then and can't now put my finger on just why. Spider-Man especially featured what I would later recognize as a carnival of Freudian types. There are living and dead father figures, passive-aggressive mother figures, unattainable objects of desire, superegos, egos, doppelgangers, and ids. But if your ego can control your id can be your friend. Listen here as Mary Jane expresses her love for Peter's costumed, controlled id, and Peter expresses his appreciation.
The fact is, I'm in love with somebody else.
You are?
At least I think I am. It's not the right time to talk about it.
No, no, go on. Would I know his name, this guy?
You'll think I'm a stupid little girl with a crush.
Trust me.
It's funny. He saved my life twice, and I've never even seen his face.
Oh, him.
You're laughing at me.
No, I understand. He is extremely cool.
But do you think it's true, all the terrible things they say about him?
No. Not Spider-Man. Not a chance in the world. I know him a little bit.
Talk dirty to me, baby. All this is fun and lends another level to the movie for those who want to see more than Peter beating up the high school bully. But it doesn't really add as much to the movie as you might think. It doesn't deepen the characters, it just fits them into a psychological matrix. In a comic book, that's okay, because its impact of color and design has an explosive effect on the imagination that's close to catalytic. But a movie works on a whole different level, and during Spider-Man's second hour, you can see how needy it is. The characters have no punch because they're not really characters, just elemental psychological figures. Yet it's just at this moment that the movie asks us to care the most about them as people, to think of them almost as tragic. It doesn't take. The cartoonishness extends to the computer effects. Because they know no limits, computers can do anything, even the impossible. But we know the impossible when we see it, and we see it too often in Spider-Man. The whole Hollywood fascination with comic book heroes is bizarre. A legion of middle-aged men are behind these projects, and their ostensible excuse that the public eats these projects up only partially explains their compulsive production. At $9 a pop, we might be paying for studio executives' therapy.
Film critic Henry Sheehan is based in Los Angeles.